Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Very pleased to have with us Rock Hill's city manager, David Vihan, a job that he has had now for how many years?
Be 14 in October.
So you've exceeded expectations, because most city managers and county managers don't last 14 years.
That would be an accurate statement. I think the average life of a city manager in the United States is something like 2 to 3 years.
2 to 3 years.
Really short.
Ooh-wee. Yeah. Well, speaking of that, have you had a chance to meet with your peer, the new county manager, Josh?
Sure, yeah. Josh is actually a graduate of the same program that I am, and we both got our master's in public administration. So, and actually, there was a young woman that used to work with us that was one of Josh's best friends that they were in school together.
Mm.
So Josh and I have lots of connections, and we've met several times on several topics. So,
well, there's always plenty of topics when you're looking at something as big as Rock Hill is getting and as big as your county is getting.
I mean, and he's a good guy. I mean, he's got, you know, he has some finance background. He has some strategic planning background. He has, you know, he has a lot of things that I think will serve him well in dealing with, you know, the growth issues in York County.
True. What do we have growth issues? Okay.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what's going on right now in Rock Hill, which is anything related to sports. We've had Adidas here, the NCAA's been here, we've got Ocho here, ESPN. I remember you throwing out some numbers, and I'm sure you have them in your head. What this all means to this community when you turn terms of hospitality tax,
sure,
and accommodations tax. It's a significant number. And the thing that really got me was when you were talking about the BMX. The BMX, I think you mentioned, was about a $3 million investment by the city of Rock Hill and by those who donated to it. And the return on that $3 million was?
The economic impact was just over $30 million. And I don't think we even spent three. I think we ended up spending something less than that. It's maybe two to two and a half. But, yeah, an economic impact of $30 million. And, you know, when I became city manager in 2010, we really had Cherry Park. Manchester Meadows was 4 years old at that time, so it was still getting its legs under it. We didn't have anything at the Rock Hill Outdoor Center, so all the velodrome and the BMX and those kind of things. And we certainly didn't have the Sports and Event Center. So I think the economic impact from sports tourism in 2010 was something like $10 million. And this year it'll be $120 million. So it's a significant part of the economy of Rock Hill now, and that's not going to change. I mean, there's nothing but expansion plans ahead that will make that continue to be a bigger and bigger number for us.
Well, speaking of expansions, we all have heard the announcement about the annex, which is going to be constructed kind of catty-corner to where the Indoor Sports and Events Center is.
Right.
I'm trying to figure out how you're going to get that done by the end of December of next year.
So we've been meeting on it since May, I guess, weekly meetings, having everybody involved. Everybody, there's a schedule. There's a, you know, we did a RFP to get somebody on board to do a design build, and so everybody knows the schedule. Everybody knows they got to meet these time frames, and we're going to meet them all, and we're going to get done by the end of next year.
So are there penalties put in there, financial penalties, if you don't make it?
It's not. The tax credits that are going into the facility from others involved in the project, they're the ones who suffer the most if the work is not done. So it's not just the city that's pushing it. Everybody is pushing to get this done. And so, there will be significant financial problems if it's not done by the end of next year.
And who is doing the work on this, the construction work on this?
The city is obviously coordinating it, but we're Edifice is handling the construction on it, and so they're part of the meetings that go on, and the architects are in the meetings that go on. Everybody's meeting and talking.
So while we're talking about that area, of the city. The project that's going to surround the annex, the townhomes and what have you, mm-hmm. is that on a similar schedule, or is that?
I think it'll drag. It'll not drag, but I think it'll be a little bit behind behind the arena. But I think you'll see it coming forward pretty quickly. And those guys are getting their information together and everything ready, and everything's done from a city standpoint. They just have to get their plans approved and get going.
And I'm sure it'd be helpful if the interest rates would come down a little bit, because that's a lot of money.
That helps everybody, and that's been the really biggest problem. I think that several big projects that people probably ride by and they look at without getting any specifics, and they say, I wonder why that project's not moving. It's all about interest rates. And so I think if those start coming down, it makes a significant impact on getting some things finally across the finish line that we've been working on for years.
So when you take a project like the Annex, it's going to cost whatever, $12 million, $10 million,
yeah, something like that.
You go to the bond market and mm-hmm. you borrow that money at whatever the current interest rate is,
right.
And you're using the hospitality tax dollars to pay the debt service.
Correct.
That's the way it works.
That's exactly the way it works, and that's how we did Manchester Meadows. That's how we do the Outdoor Center. That's how we did the Sports and Event Center. That's how we're doing this building. And when there's a community meeting in August to talk about the regional park, which will be the next big thing that comes. Hospitality tax money and Southside tax increment monies will go into helping pay for that.
So when you say there's just more to come, it's there because you have to use those hospitality tax dollars in those kinds of venues.
Yeah, and they're specifically tied state law to do things that generate tourism and generate people in the to come and spend their money in Rock Hill. And they're our favorite people because they come, they spend all their money, and then they leave and go back home. So they don't stay and take up, you know, resources and those kind of things.
Jeez. So in round numbers, hospitality tax dollars generate roughly how much a year?
Round numbers, something north of $7 million a year.
Jeez. Wow.
That's the 2% tax people pay on food and beverage,
right.
Prepared foods in Rock Hill. And then also we have a 3% local accommodations tax for people that stay in hotels. So, the theory behind it is, not just in Rock Hill but other places, is that if you live here and if you don't want to pay that tax, you don't have to.
That's right.
You can stay. It doesn't apply to food you buy at the grocery store. You can fix your own food at home and eat at home and never have to pay this tax.
So the accommodation tax generates roughly?
Ooh, that's a harder question for me. I lump them all together into one big number.
All right.
It's much less than most of the money comes from the 2% food and beverage tax.
All right. Well, with all that being said, the big park, the new regional park, that's been something that's been in the planning stages for years. Lots of different pieces of land to pull together to get this, to make it happen.
Yeah, but the city owns most of that land. It's just a way that we can repurpose that land in a different way, and I think it's going to be a really significant impact on our community when all said and done. It's a little bigger than Cherry or Manchester. It's a little more spread out, but it'll connect from Heckle at the American Legion all the way downtown.
That's amazing.
So it'll be a pretty significant, we think, impact on the community as a whole.
But so people understand, this is something that's going to be done in stages.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's going to take 10 years, probably.
Yeah, this is a big project. It's a big number. We're applying for some grant money to assist with it. We'll find out more about that probably early next year. That'll help us get a little farther down the road with the work to be done. But, yeah, it's going to take, this is not a one-year project. This is a 5-7 kind of year project.
Mm. So talking about numbers, the Pennies for Progress Commission, for Pennies for Progress number 5, they had a tough problem. They had so much carry forward and the cost of everything going up the way it has. Basically, they're going to be doing a lot of repaving projects and nothing major. The city was really trying to push for Porter Road to get that thing done. So is there a fallback on that, or you just have to wait for the next round of Pennies for Progress?
No, we'll have to wait. It's way too expensive a project for us to think about trying to tackle on our own. But I think it's important to we have to be thinking. What we're trying to do is plan for the next 8 to 10 years,
right.
And so recognizing that there is going to be growth along the I-77 corridor, it's coming, and so I think it's easy for people to look at Porter Road and say, well, why in the world would you widen that road? And I think today that might be a great question. trust me, 10 years from now, that's not going to be a great question. People are going to say, why didn't you widen that road 10 years ago? And so we're just trying to prepare for it and be ready for it.
And so people understand there was a big push and a successful effort to annex a lot of that property out there that's just all raw land right now.
Yeah, along the interstate. So we annexed 2.5 years ago over 2,000 acres along I-77. All voluntary annexation. If somebody didn't want to come in, they didn't have to. But we brought all those folks in to see the development. And you'll start seeing some of that. You're starting to see now. McCraney has already got his site graded down on Fire Tower Road, and I think he's moving forward. On Porter Road, on the other side of I-77, we're working with several developers right now on several pretty big projects that'll be going in there. And I'm not talking about one building, but I'm talking about multiple buildings that'll be going in down there.
And so people understand the attraction to the landowner for annexation is water and sewer.
That's right.
And city services.
That's right.
Fire, police, all that kind of stuff.
That's right.
All right. Wow. That's a lot going on. Okay. Let's let me quiz you. You're doing a good job, by the way.
No, thank you. I appreciate
that. Very nice job. There are a number of other projects that are underway that I'm just trying to get a status report on. Number one is the big project that was approved, the rezoning for it, across from Northwestern High School.
Yes.
Where the Walmart neighborhood market was going to go at one time, and that whole project fell through.
Right.
All those details got worked out, but it was a very clear signal from council that they wanted to see something done out there, and rather quickly, not dragged on for years after years.
Right.
What is the status on that?
So they're I would tell you they're moving. Burger King came down this week, and so that's been taken care of. The process of the developer, and I go back to where you started. We're talking about interest rates.
Right.
I mean, I think they're trying to make sure they're good stewards of the money that they're able to get a hold of and how they use it. And so, but that's obviously a highly desirable area, and I don't think you'll see much lagging behind on that project.
Okay. We already know about the annex. We've talked about that. Now, McGirt Auditorium. That's almost done, is it?
Yeah, they're clicking along down there. Leitner is the local folks that are working on that project. That's going to be a real jewel when it's done. I mean, it really is. And so we're partnering with some other folks in the area to add to upgrade and add parking that'll be needed for the facility. It seats about 700 or 750 when they're done. We anticipate that it'll probably be finished sometime later this year or early next year, but I'm thinking probably later this year. And it's not just a coat of paint that's going on the place. I mean, they literally have gutted the whole place. And some things that were important to the building we've made an effort to save, and so that's been really great to see. But they've done some additions in the back to expand dressing rooms and those kind of things, which really were needed. And they put a brand new lobby that will go in the front of it. It's really going to be an outstanding facility when we're done. And they told me last week we've already leased 12 or 15 dates, I think, for next year.
I know PRT have been booking that place.
Yeah.
Which is good. So that's all part of this Southside connection that Rock Hill is working on.
Right.
Another big project in that forecast is right out there at Saluda Road and 72, the great big piece of property adjacent to the Burger King out there. I interviewed the developer, Mr. James. he's a very interesting fellow. I really enjoyed it. He talks like the Godfather.
Yeah, that's right.
But he,
he's
a good
guy.
He's a good guy, knows what the heck he's doing. But I guess his issue is the same thing, trying to get somebody to go out there. And then, of course, these interest rates have gone crazy since he raised those buildings.
Yeah, for smaller private developers, I think it's even more of a challenge. Mr. James has always made lots of claims about doing things, and it's the kind of stuff you think, boy, that's really going to be hard to pull off. And I would tell you, he's come through on just about everything he ever said he was going to do. So I still have every reason to believe that he'll be able to work things out in that as well. Getting the building down was a big thing.
Yeah.
It was a fire hazard. It was just lots of hazardous ways. But getting that out of the way was really helpful.
Sure was. And then, of course, tied in with all this is the Clinton connection and all the stuff they're doing out there at Clinton. I mean, the pieces seem to be falling together.
Yes.
Just like they did for the White Street redevelopment downtown. I mean, it takes time.
It does take time. And we're working on something I was working on this week. But, you know, you have to if you go back and it's hard to keep it in context. But if you go back to 2010 when I became city manager, and if you really think in your head the things around town that, you know, we were hoping that we'd get done, but, you know, nothing had really gotten done. So you think about the Good Motor site, what that looked like in 2010. And we were working on it then. Agreements with the county and RHEDC and those kind of things, and you know, it just finally opened, what, 2 years ago?
Right.
And so, I mean, that's a 12-year process to get something moved and taken care of. It just takes time, especially with some of these more difficult projects.
And speaking of difficult projects and time, there is that wonderful pedestrian bridge that is going to be erected sometime across Dave Law Boulevard and the railroad tracks. And if you've never dealt with a railroad, you really haven't had the experience of a lifetime.
Any city manager in America will tell you that the railroads are the hardest people to deal with. But, you know, I mean, for reasons, or good reasons, I mean, that we understand. But the bridge is happening. I mean, we're working on the bridge. We were very fortunate to get a $10 million grant to assist with the paying for the bridge. That's the good news. The bad news is it's a $10 million federal grant, and so all of a sudden all the federal rules associated with the grants kick in, and that probably will hold the project up 9 to 12 months from what we expected to be done. So I don't think that's probably going to see a completion until sometime in 26. But the good news is we're not looking for the money. We have the money, and it's in hand, and we're going to get it done, but it's just – it's going to take a little extra time.
What do you think this bridge is going to cost in 2026?
Well, the construction on it probably will start in a year.
Yeah, but I mean, it's probably going to be more than $10 million.
Well, I think that we think the bridge, depending on, you know, I think the bridge is probably something a little less than that. So I think we've left ourselves a little room to grow on that.
Right.
And then we have tax increment monies that can help pay for anything that might go over as well. So we're going to be okay on that bridge.
Now, I remember I happened to attend one of the citizens' committee meetings at the last one that they had about the bridge. And they made it very clear to the consultant who was gathering data that the people in Rock Hill just didn't want a bridge. They wanted a really nice bridge.
Right.
Really neat and cool where you can do things on the bridge besides walk.
Right.
From one side. Is that pretty much what the vision for this is?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be pretty spectacular. It'll be a cable-suspended bridge. And so so think about, you know, two big, you know, long poles on both ends with cable that runs down and holds the bridge in place. So and I think the thought of that is trying to somehow use it to tie in, and I'm really going to speak beyond things I know a lot about right now, but I think the thought is to try to tie it into the weaving of the thread of the fabric of industry and that kind of stuff. So, you know, like the piece of art that's in front of the cotton factory, you know, it does that kind of stuff. So so I think it'll be it certainly will be iconic. It's big. I mean, it's those end poles that hold things up are something like 80 feet in the air. Ooh. So, I mean, that's eight stories.
Mean,
it'll certainly be something that you I don't think have seen in anywhere else.
And parking garages on either end.
Yes.
To connect to the bridge. Wow, it's going to be something.
Yeah.
All right, one more thing while we're right there at that corridor, and that, of course, is the Herald site, which is going to be another, 150, 200 apartments.
Right.
That building's been raised for quite a while now. Is it pretty much the same situation, interest rates?
Correct, yeah. Okay. Those guys, we're in contact with the developer in Charlotte. I have every confidence in the world that they're still going to move on that. They have a lot invested in the site already. It was not inexpensive to what they put into purchasing and then demolition of that building.
Yeah.
So the sunk cost they have is enough to keep them moving forward.
Okay.
But the interest rates have held them up. There's
no
doubt.
We're going to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy. Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And, of course, here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, what do? We prepare fresh subs and salads, and we do it 6 days a week, And there is a way that we do it that keeps people coming back day after day after day after day. And we're going to recite it to you at the count of three. Are you ready? He's ready. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, 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 garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
I love their fresh meats and the sweet wheat bread.
The bread, their quality meats, and their prices.
It's just always a great, consistent meal.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
We hope you'll choose The Nest to deliver your newest bundle of joy. The Nest is a new labor and delivery recovery postpartum unit at Piedmont Medical Center Fort Mill, working to make your pregnancy and childbirth experience as easy and enjoyable as possible. Our physicians and nursing staff at Piedmont are dedicated to giving expectant mothers the maternity care they want and need. Learn more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
With Comporium, you get way more than home security. You get eyes everywhere. Remote access to lights and locks from anywhere. And right now, you'll get a secure home for a lot less than you'd think with anytime live video streaming, remote temperature control, and 24/7 monitoring. We're more than your internet company. We're your peace of mind, never felt this easy company. For zero stress levels, stay connected to what matters most. Comporium, always ready.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Relax this summer with a promotional rate on select travel purchases with your Founders Federal Credit Union credit card. Now through August 31st, get 6.99% APR for 6 months on qualifying purchases, including airfare, hotels, restaurants, and cruise lines. Don't let interest rates slow you down this summer. Visit foundersfcu.com/travel to learn more. On March 1st, 2025, the promotional APR reverts to the effective APRs previously disclosed. Call 800-845-1614 for details about credit costs and terms. Membership qualification required.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
Such distinguished people frequent this place. Enjoy that, and the food is delicious.
The salads are the best in town.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, going through a potpourri of different items with Rock Hill City Manager David Vihan. All right, one more big project, probably the biggest project that has the most potential, as Mayor Geddes would say, a once-in-a-generational project. Is what's now called the Overlook or the Hutchison property.
Yes.
200-plus acres right there on I-77, complete with brand-new interchange. Soon to be open, I understand, to so you go both ways. It's open, but you can't go the other way.
You can go everywhere.
You can now.
It's all open.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, just a couple weeks ago.
Good. So you now can get off it and go left or right. Good.
You absolutely can.
All right. I'm going to check that out.
You can.
So I know that we want this... And you've probably heard 10,000 suggestions as to what should be out there.
Right.
But when you look at the concept of a generational project, something to really change Rock Hill, what kinds of things would you like to see out there?
So I think the several things to say about that. We've got, you know, we have 200-plus acres out there. So we want to make sure that we're good stewards in how it develops. You know, I think that... people ask me, and I say, well, it's easier to talk about what it's not going to be. So it's not going to be distribution facilities. It's not going to be – we had somebody came in wanted to talk to us about a new – they were like, hey, we do another river walk right here. And we're like – I was like, well, I already have a river walk. I don't know if I need another one.
Right.
And so not apartments, not distribution, not residential. What I think council's really focused on are good-paying jobs – the kinds of industry that bring in higher-end manufacturing. So think about people ask me what would be my ideal something to go on the site. And we talked to somebody about like a life sciences facility where you might have You might have, you know, up on the interstate, a four-story building full of chemists and people like that that are developing something, and then, you know, a 400,000 square foot facility behind them that takes all the stuff they do, and they manufacture something back there to be able to do that. Not stuff that's dangerous, but stuff that's, right, you know, medical focus or those kind of life sciences, those kind of things. So those are the kind of things I think that we're focused on. I think that we're, you know, we've had really good approaches from some folks. We're talking to somebody like right now that would be a really significant financial investment that would take, you know, only about 30 acres. And so I think the hard thing about it is that, you know, we've got the prime part of the site has about 150 acres to it. And I mean, you know how it goes. You have somebody that comes in and says, hey, we want to do this, and it's 50 acres to do it. And it sounds pretty good, and it sounds, you know, like, you know, 85% of where you'd like to be, but, you know, okay. And you're still left with 100 acres, so you feel pretty good about it. And then as soon as you sell it, then you have the perfect somebody come in next week and say, hey, we need 150 acres. And we're like, how, we just sold the 50. So that's the thing. I think trying to balance a good investment with making sure we get the best return for the people of Rock Hill.
So a lot of these prospects are coming through the state of South Carolina?
Yeah, I mean, it could be. It's a little bit of everything. So yes, some of them do come through the Department of Commerce. Commerce has told us this is their number one site in the state of South Carolina. So that's great for Rock Hill. But you know, there are other ways that people contact us, and so we're still getting those kind of contacts as well.
So it's just a question of being patient, waiting.
Correct.
For the right piece to come along.
And we have the ability to wait and to be patient. And right. So that's the good thing. I mean, we don't have to run into the first great thing that comes along or the first good thing that comes along. We want to have the best thing that comes along.
But I guess you almost end up questioning yourself. Am I waiting too long? Should I have taken this 30-acre piece?
And that's exactly the game you play with this. It's just that I think we want to make sure we have, because it is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for Rock Hill, we want to make sure we do it right.
All right. We're growing very rapidly. Rock Hill now is a city, what, 75,000 roughly?
Yeah.
All right. And I know we've been doing monster work out at the water plants, and we're doing even bigger work out at the wastewater treatment plant.
Right.
And is it enough? How long can we keep up with all this?
Well, Jimmy Bagley and his folks look at that, and so our projections are for the water plant, we won't need to do another expansion for 15 to 20 years. And I think with the expansion we're doing at the wastewater plant, it'll take us out probably at least that long and maybe closer to 30 years. So it's, you know, I think we've been prudent with how we've done it. It's ridiculously expensive to expand these facilities, especially the wastewater.
Well, one quick comment because we're running out of time, and that, of course, the THREAD project, which is a big, 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 big project. We had Claude Close on here yesterday and the gentleman from the Keith Corporation who was here. I mean, they're off and running. I mean, phase one is basically done.
Yep.
They're getting started on phase two.
Yeah.
And they applauded the city of Rock Hill for all the good stuff you did to help them, and that was a big one.
Well, I think we didn't really, honestly, we didn't financially do a lot to help those guys, but I think it's more about the service that we can provide to the development community by doing a good job and making sure we can keep projects moving along. I think that's really the big thing.
Well, David Vihan, thank you so much for giving us a half hour of your time, which is hard to get because you're a busy guy.
Glad to do it.
All right. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, relax here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. One more time, we want to tell everybody it's 150 degrees outside, but inside here at Charlie's, about 70 degrees. It's very nice. And by the way, we just found out that over the last 38 years, they have made over 2 million sandwiches here at Substation 2. How about that? All right, how do they do it? Very simple. At the count of three, you're going to learn if you don't know already. 1, 2, 3. Slice, 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 slice. Garden, garden, garden. Have a wonderful weekend. Go and enjoy the Ocho out of Manchester and downtown at the Sports and Events Center. It's wild stuff. I'll tell you, wild stuff. Have a good weekend. See you on Monday.